You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell.
And your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
Right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 29th show. It's a great day to talk about money, and that's what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, so that you can have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150, or go online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Mark and Eric Simmons with Arrives Appraisal Management. We're going to be talking about appraising a home in a volatile market. Mark and Eric, thank you so much for joining me in studio. First time that I've had you on the show, yes?
Indeed. Glad to be here. Thanks for having
us. So excited. And a little bit about Mark and Eric. Mark and Eric have both been certified appraisers for over 2 decades. I say 2 decades because I've been in the industry for over 2 decades, mostly in the greater Seattle area. In response to industry changes in 2007, they decided to start their own local appraisal management company. In 2013, they partnered with Arrives Appraisal Management in order to gain a referral network with national coverage. The majority of their appraisal assignments are in King, Snohomish, and Pierce counties, but Arrives Appraisal Management has coverage throughout the Northwest and across the country.
Mark and Eric, I'm so excited to have some appraisers in here with some different opinions. We have all these agents and, you know, they have their opinion of the market, and I'm excited to hear what your guys' opinion of the market is. So, we're hearing a lot about softening. Is this a fact? How's the market going? What are you guys seeing out there?
It is indeed a fact. I'm not sure that we're going to be much different. Our opinions are going to be much different than the agents you're having. And that's, we started seeing in February, March, inventory going up, and a lot of the multiple offer situations and bidding wars and that sort of thing slowing down. So for the past quarter, and really across most markets, in preparation for the show, I actually pulled some data, not just downtown Seattle and Bellevue, but I looked at Kent and Marysville area as well. And the numbers are remarkably similar. Inventory up, still near historic lows, but it's increasing. The trend is increasing. Days on market, again, increasing, but golly, less than 2 weeks still, less than 2 months of inventory on the market.
And the average market, can you remind the listeners on months of inventory average would be?
Three.
Yeah.
Would be a balanced market. So we're still, essentially, bottom line, we've gone from white hot to just warm.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy, all of the talk out there that you hear when we're really still not in a balanced market, and we're quite a ways away from a balanced market when you look at the difference between 2 months and 3 months in inventory, correct?
Indeed. The trend is that way, and that's what we're looking at. But it's certainly not dire out there,
for goodness
sake.
So, Mark, how is it for your appraisers in appraising in this environment compared to, let's say, 12 months ago when we had, like, some of the areas less than a week of inventory and days of inventory? Craziness.
Well, again, we're not dealing with those purchase contract writers with bidding wars and escalation clauses and that sort of thing. We're having to follow up less on getting the information regarding multiple offers and all of that type of thing. We're seeing stuff selling pretty close to list. And so contracts are a little more typical. That makes it a little easier on us. Other than that, business as usual. It's slowed down a little bit. Oddly, I think rates have more to do with that from our end of the business, because we also deal in refinances. And rates increasing means the refinance business slows down. Purchases have actually remained pretty stable or increased, but the refinances have slowed down for us.
And so really, the only people that are refinancing, so a shout out, if you have equity in your home, there's still a lot of equity in your house and you want to be able to pull cash out, it's going to make sense a lot of the times to be able to do that. But otherwise, yes, you're not seeing refinances anymore. What about the comps that are available? Because you talked about there's not as much multiple offers, But also with the more inventory, is it making it easier because you actually have some comps that you can use to support the value, or is it more of challenging?
It actually is a little bit easier.
Okay.
Because values have stabilized and they're not climbing. That's always the most difficult market to appraise in. When things are climbing, especially like they were a year, year and a half ago, just absolute craziness. All the data that we deal with, maybe 2-3 months old, that's not a lot in appraisal terms, but the market was moving quicker. So we had to deal with time adjustments on our reports, and there's still some evidence in certain markets for those, but not necessarily as ubiquitous as it was.
What about the regulatory changes? Are we seeing anything on the forefront as far as regulatory changes with appraisals or...
There's a little bit going on in the industry. It's a little bit of inside baseball. I'm not sure how much your listeners want to know about the forms that we have to fill out as appraisers.
Well, if they look at the actual appraisal report, that should be an indicator that there might be quite a few forms on the behind the scenes.
There are indeed. There's a form.
How many are there?
There are numerous. Let's just leave it at that. There was a part of our form, part of the regulatory changes that came in after the crash in 07, Fannie Mae added a market conditions report to our appraisals, which basically just tracked trends. And for some reason, they've decided that that's no longer needed. I mean, I think the addendum itself wasn't very well designed, but that looks like it may be going away just in time for the market to be changing again. It's a little bit ironic. Other than that, the form that we've been working with for the past 20 years, it looks like it's going to be revamped coming up in the next year or so to provide more flexibility for appraisers to fill out, to provide the information, to report the information that we find. The form has been static, and software now allows it to be a little more flexible. So that's going to be updated for us. So that'll be a change as far as we're concerned.
But, and I know that there was a lot of, and we don't have enough time to really get into it in great detail, but it seemed like one day there was no appraisers, and then all of a sudden, the next day, things went back to normal. But when there was no appraisers, one of the things that was coming out in the media is just about the apprentice thing and how you had to have they had to go through an apprentice program for 2 years, and it was just all of this stuff. And so what's happening right now, if there's anybody that's listening that's like, wow, you know what, I'd really like to take some of the knowledge that I have maybe in construction and other areas that I have in my passion with homes and get into the appraisal industry. So they're inspired to be an appraiser like you guys. what does that look like?
That hasn't changed.
So there is still a 2-year.
There's still a 2-year apprenticeship.
So how come all of a sudden it wasn't an issue when it was? So Eric.
Well, actually, they have come out and changed the field requirements to 1 year, but that's what Fannie Mae has come out and changed the field requirements for 1 year. So if you are an aspiring appraiser and you've taken the classes that you need to take, you still need to have field experience. And like Mark said, it's always been 2 years traditionally.
Okay.
Now, technically, he's right. It still is 2 years because the state of Washington hasn't adopted that yet. But Fannie Mae has come out and said, okay, you don't necessarily have to have 2 years of field experience to become to eligible to take the state certification exam. They have said you only need 1 year. But the state of Washington is reviewing that right now. And they're actually, about 6-8 months into the review process? I know that they interviewed a lot of appraisers, and they asked appraisers what they thought of the idea. And surprisingly, a lot of appraisers thought that that wasn't a good idea.
Really? Really?
Existing appraisers thought that having a 2-year requirement for somebody to get into the business was a good idea because you have a little bit of an vested interest in maintaining your position as a...
Of course. And so from one appraiser standpoint, that makes sense. From an ownership standpoint... I would think that it would not, because that seems to be where the challenge was, is bringing somebody on and not really being able to have them do their own thing and have to tag behind for 24 months. So was that 12 months difference? Is that why all of a sudden one day the issue with having these extended, terrible turn times changed? What changed all of a sudden that now we've been back in a normal?
That was just a supply and demand. There's still pretty much the same number of appraisers, not that many more have gotten into the market. It's just a matter of the transactions have decreased significantly.
Yeah, all right. Makes sense.
I got to ask, do you guys feel like we're short with appraisers? Like, do you think there's enough in our market? Like, is there a demand? Or is it, I mean, how does that feel? Are you guys just inundated with appraisals day in, day out? Or
we were, as Tina mentioned, a year ago, we couldn't handle the volume. And volumes have decreased, and it's a little more balanced in terms of what the amount of orders we can handle. So things are fine as far as we're concerned right now. And it, as Eric mentioned, it really was a supply and demand issue. The industry, though, is aging. I mean, I think the average age of an appraiser is about 57, something like that. Yeah. And we're coming up against a lot of retirements. And it would be nice to get some younger folks into the industry. It just it is difficult. The biggest hurdle is getting work for those new trainees that will be accepted by lenders. And there's been some talk of opening that back up. In the old days when I got into the business, I could work as a trainee as long as I was supervised properly. And it's a little different now.
Yeah, it makes sense. So let's talk about from a homeowner. What can a homeowner do to help get ready for the appraiser? And anything in addition for our real estate agents that are working with the homeowner that they might be able to do as well to make it a little bit easier and have a better chance of being able to support the value of the home?
Supporting the value isn't necessarily the issue. The value is going to be the value, and the comparables are going to tell us that.
Thanks for that disclosure.
Indeed.
Yes.
I have to say that.
Well placed. Well placed. Yeah.
Can you tell I'm on the loan origination side already?
In terms of just how we do our inspection, though, there are some agents that are really wonderful and help us out and have access to the attic hatch and the crawl space all cleared out and ready to go. And but we're used to dealing with homeowners, and 99% of the time, they're sure their house is a mess, in quotes. If I had a nickel for every time I'd heard that my house is a mess. And especially the cleanest homes are the ones that complain the loudest, usually. But I just tell them all, really, it doesn't really matter what's on the counters. It's what they're made of. That's what we're looking for. But in terms of just from an appraiser's perspective, what I like to tell people is when I get questions, how could I improve the value of my home? My first piece of advice is to maintain what you have. Don't worry about making improvements, spending a lot of money. Make sure you improve, you're maintaining what you have really well. Make sure the foundation is clear, the paint, the roof, all the unsexy stuff.
Yeah.
So more or less like the deferred maintenance and that type of thing.
Indeed.
Yeah, as far as getting the house ready for an appraisal, we are taking pictures of the front, the back of the house, and all of the interior rooms. So it does make a difference to have you know, it presentable as far as the front and the backyard and all of the interior rooms. Another thing that's helpful is if a homeowner has made improvements to the property over the previous 10 years, if they have a list of what those improvements were and approximate cost of how much money they put into the home since they purchased it, that's helpful information for an appraiser. And actually, appraisers are quite happy under most circumstances to entertain any information that a homeowner has in terms of comparable sales in the neighborhood. They're not going to get into a conversation about what the value of the property is before they leave, but certainly willing to accept a comparable sale that a homeowner has. That a homeowner provides to the appraiser that they think is a good match for the property.
Makes total sense.
Eric, is there anything that your company is doing to increase service levels or add value in the market? I mean, people have told me some management companies pay lower fees to appraisers, and therefore the actual service itself suffers. How does your company assure good service?
Well, we're an appraisal management company run by appraisers, so we're sort of the player's coach of appraisal management companies, and we take pride in making sure that the fees that we pay our appraisers are fair market rate fees. So we don't cast our orders out for bid to appraisers. We try and establish a good trusting relationship with our appraisers, and we assign those appraisals. We manually assign the appraisals to the appraiser and expect them to turn the appraisal around in a timely fashion and do good quality work. And for that, they get paid a fair rate.
Love it. Great information with Eric and Mark, and we haven't had Praiser representation here for quite a while, and I'm just really excited to have you guys here. I just want to keep you around, so I'm going to take us
thanks,
to break
Tina.
And have you back. So coming up next on the Money Hour, we're going to continue our conversation with Mark and Eric, all about appraisals, and right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert Tina Mitchell.
And co-host Keelan Harvey.
Right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 29th show. We are here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests that we have on the show. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. And in studio right now, we're continuing our conversation with Mark and Eric Simmons with Arrives Appraisal Management. And we're talking about appraising a property in this maybe not completely volatile market, but it's changing, and it's changing every day and interesting in where it's going. So thank you guys for sticking around for an extra segment of the show.
So I got to ask you guys, Mark and Eric, we're in the mortgage business, and people call us up and they have the perfect evaluation of where the property's at on Zillow. And, right, she just laughs, right?
So we love Zillow.
Yeah, it's incredible. My home's worth X amount, and they're mad at us for it for some reason. And the reality is they got to have a fair assessment of what it is. And Zillow is often high.
Indeed,
and
yes.
It doesn't have any indication of the specifics per property. So it does a great job not bashing Zillow for what it is, but it doesn't take into account the finer details. So we have to remember that. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
I like to say that the Zillow is either right on or they're 50% high or 50% low.
Yeah.
You just don't know because they're using a mass market approach. And so actually one of the things that we've done recently with one of our clients, some of the feedback we got when we visited their branch was a loan officer was asking about how he could get a better idea of what a property was worth and whether or not he should proceed with a refinance. So we kind of put our heads together and we came up with a limited desktop valuation that is USPAP compliant, and we're just rolling it out now. The cost is $150. It's a desktop valuation, a desktop appraisal by a certified appraiser who does research on a subject property from the desk and puts comparable sales together, comes up with a price range and a value number. Along with plenty of disclosures about the fact that we haven't actually inspected the property, but it tends to be we've done a few of these, we've tested a few of them, and they will say we feel they're pretty accurate, and it's a pretty good indicator as far as if you have a property that you're not quite sure where it's going to fit in terms of value, you might be able to use it to decide whether or not you want to proceed with a refinance, and it's a service that we're providing to our clients and that we bill directly to the borrower. So the loan officer and the branch is not necessarily paying for this service. The borrower, him or herself, is paying for it directly.
Yeah, that's super important because that can make or break. We have to make a judgment call. And me and Tina, you know, we're professionals and we try to do as much as we can to really identify where we think it's going to be, because we have to make some decisions to move forward based on what we think of the value. So,
yeah, and we always try to look at the worst case and the best case scenario, and you know, that's one of the downsides. I mean, there was when they changed the rules and brought in to where mortgage companies and lenders couldn't talk directly to the appraisers. It made sense because that put a lot of pressure on the appraisers to be able to support a value that may have not been there because a competition would do it. And so I get where that came in. In the refinances, it did start to bring in a challenge just for this reason. So what a great, you know, service to be able to provide that. And I did laugh a little bit with Zillow, which I really didn't mean that in a negative way, because Zillow is an amazing service to get all kinds of great data.
Oh, it has its place in a homogeneous neighborhood of newer homes. That's where it's more accurate.
Yes.
If you're looking at a neighborhood in North Seattle where homes were built in the 20s, all the way up through the 50s, and you haven't been inside, you don't know the level of updating, upgrades, remodeling, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
it's a little less reliable.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're starting to see, and you guys, you know, won't like hearing this as much, but we're starting to see a lot of property inspection waivers. And so for our listeners, through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they have an automated system that determines the risk. And so they're looking, I'm assuming there's lots of comps and things that have been able to present itself. And then, of course, you have a strong buyer as well, great credit. And I just literally have a client right now that I'm working with that he decided that he wanted to get that appraisal anyways, because he's buying the home and he wanted a professional opinion to ensure that the value is there. First time that that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love that guy.
Yeah, I gotta love that guy. So are you feeling that we're going to be getting more of these property inspection waivers, or what are your thoughts?
Well, they have been growing in the market, and it is a bit of a worry for appraisers, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But similar to your client, we have been doing some... Back a year or so ago, when the market was super hot, there were a lot of cash buyers in the market, and did quite
not good for us.
Not good for you guys.
No.
But the appraisals were ordered just for that peace of mind reason, even though the buyers were paying cash.
Yeah.
So we're still here for peace of mind, whether there's an appraisal waiver or not. And as you say, I mean, it really depends on the borrower's credit score and the value of the property and all of those parameters as to whether there has to be an appraisal ordered or not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Eric, I was going to ask you, so I had a customer once, and they lived out in kind of a rural eastern Washington area. They got an appraisal, and it's third party. I mean, we have nothing. It is what it is, right? You do your research and the whole nine yards, and it came back a little under where they wanted it, and they were convinced it's because the appraiser was unfamiliar with the area that they live and the dynamics, and because they're emotional about their home and their town and so on and so forth. How does your company address that?
Well, we have a formal process, the ROV process, reconsideration of value, that a homeowner can take advantage of. Typically what they do is they contact their lender, and they'll present their case. The lender will triage it and find out whether or not they feel like it is something that's worth proceeding. And if it is, then they can forward the ROV form to the homeowner, and the homeowner can present their case. So they can describe the reasons why they think their house is a little bit more higher in value. Mm-hmm. They can talk about the comparable sales that the appraiser used, analyze those. They can provide their own comparable sales and basically present their own case as to why they think the property was undervalued. Mm-hmm. At that point, then the ROV will come to either myself or to Mark or John Curtis, our partner. We'll take a look at it, pass it on to the appraiser, and then we'll work with the appraiser on it. And if, in fact, there is evidence that shows that maybe there was something that was missed, maybe there are better comparable sales mm-hmm. out there, maybe there's something about the market that appraiser didn't know, then typically we can adjust a value if it's fair to do so. It's only about 10% of the time
mm-hmm.
that this ROV process actually gets taken advantage of in mm-hmm. all of the orders that we place. And in terms of changing values, it's significantly less than that. So most of the time, the appraiser gets the value right, but there is a process for a borrower to dispute that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, through our appraiser panel, we attempt to deal with that up front by assigning the appraisal to a local mm-hmm. Appraiser.
Mm-hmm. Which is a huge benefit.
That knows mm-hmm. the market.
Yeah.
We're not reaching out to the lowest bidder who will come three counties away to appraise the property. We geographic competence is part of our assigning regimen. And so we've got a panel throughout Washington of over 100 appraisers, mm-hmm. no matter what county that the assignment comes in.
Yes, yep. We know how to pronounce Sammamish, not Sammamish,
and Puyallup. That's a good indicator.
As a, yes.
Sammamish.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is another shout out as well for homeowners in preparing and for real estate experts in helping the appraiser, because it is an appraiser's opinion and there's a lot of work that has to be done and there's a lot that's going on in the industry. So something can get missed, especially with more complicated, and the real estate agents are doing all of this work up front. Two agents are, the agent that represents the seller and the agent that represents the buyer. So why not share that work with you? And but like you said, majority of the time, the appraiser is going to get it. And there's just a lot of emotional stuff that's going in there with some of these
always.
Review processes, mm-hmm. yeah. of course. So let's talk about, we're not seeing it as much right now, maybe as we, the market that we came out of, but, you know, still in some areas where you don't have the comps that are there. Are pending sales, I know they're not used as comps, but are they used as compensating factors in that process of determining value?
Absolutely. In terms of, and that's where real estate agents have been very helpful to appraisers over the last year when the market was climbing significantly. And really what you needed to do was get the most recent information on sales in a neighborhood. And so when we call real estate agents and ask them about a property and when it's mm-hmm. going to close, then oftentimes they would share with us when it's going to close and get an idea about a percentage in terms of whether or not it sold for more than the list price. And that will help. That would help us to establish that there is a trend in the neighborhood. And we can use that in our final reconciliation process. We're not going to rely on it in terms of a closed sale because it's not closed, but we can certainly use it in our argument in terms of reconciling the value and just saying that market value is increasing.
Yes.
And pending sales are indicating that this is a fact. And
so on that same hand, then, when we do see an adjustment and the market drops, because at some point in time, the market's going to have an adjustment down. Historically, it always, you know, the market moves up and down. When that happens, is there pending sales that come in on the negative way as well?
It can. Typically, what we see, though, is we see list prices reduced before something goes into contract.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So an aggressive listing might be reduced once or twice mm-hmm. and then sell, again, fairly close to that final listing amount. And so, I mean, following the crash, yes. We were looking at pending sales and we were making time adjustments negatively.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what the market's doing, yeah.
What about the flip side of that coin? I'm going to bring up Billy Bob in Podunk, Washington again, out in the rural Washington area. What if there's no comps at all? What do you guys do?
Wow.
That's a hard one to
answer.
That
is a hard one to answer.
Bam.
The answer to every appraisal question I was once told by one of my mentors is it depends.
Mm-hmm.
There are always comps.
And you're still using that after 2 decades.
I'm going to use that. Yeah, indeed. And fall back on that one. It's tried and tested. There are always comparables. It's just how good they are or not, how well they match the subject. There's sales data almost no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that you may have to expand the distance that you're looking for comparable mm-hmm. data, or maybe go back in time a little bit further. I'm dealing with a waterfront sale up north right now in a pocket neighborhood that hasn't seen much turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to go back more than a year to look for comparable data.
Wow.
I'm going to back that up then with market data in terms of should I make a time adjustment or not to okay. that old sale. Mm-hmm. There's always ways to deal with a lack of data. And that's really our job. That's why we get paid the big bucks. I guess that's what they say.
Another show, another time.
Right.
So as we wrap up our time here with the two of you, we'd love to hear your forecast and what you think is going to happen, let's say, in the next 5 years in our real estate market.
Oh, wow.
I'm pushing it out there. Short term, long term. What do you see in the next 24 months and maybe pushing it, you know, out? I mean, how long do you think that our market is going to continue to be a great market to buy?
Well, judging by The demographics and the statistics that I've seen, the rest of this year and next year are supposed to be solid, stable. We're not going to see the 10%, 12, 15% increases that we were seeing 2 years ago. But the conventional wisdom is we're still solid there. Yes. As long as there isn't some sort of catastrophic issue with the unnamed large corporations in the area. There's still a lot of people moving into the area. There are a lot of, I don't know, there's been an article in the paper recently regarding condominium supply. There's going to be some more condo complexes coming online around there. Yeah. So, but we're not looking at the market over the next 2 years. I really would be hesitant to say anything else beyond that with any sort of fear of another crash, 07 type bubble burst type thing.
Totally agree. And, you know, people are always asking that. And my, you know, my response back is because people can usually predict what's going to happen in the employment market a little bit more. Nobody can predict anything, but real estate's always followed employment. And, you know, even if we do lose some of a big one, you know, we had that big scare with the head tax. We still have a lot of companies. Every company that you can think of in the tech industry has satellite here in Seattle. So, you know, I agree with you. Thank you both for coming in and joining Keelan and I. It's been great chatting with you, and appreciate all your wealth of information shining a little bit on what's happening in the appraiser arena.
Thank you, Tina.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Tina.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, preparing your home for sale, Stephanie Kristen with Windermere Real Estate, right here at 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.